There's an old song, there's an old, actually an old gospel quartet song that goes like this. And I'm just going to sing it a cappella. Is that all right? A cappella. Doesn't mean that, that's not a city in New Mexico. That's Acapulco. I'm going to sing this one a cappella. It goes like this. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear now is at stake. Humbling your hearts to God saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians awake. My Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trouble will come. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. How many believes that this morning? I sing that because that song resonates so much with where we are in our nation today. I sing that because it connects with the message that I want to share with you this morning of encouragement. I know that what's going on in the world today is unprecedented. I know that what's happening in the streets of our cities right now are heartbreaking. I know that what we're facing in our world today with the pandemics and the riots and the racial unrest and all the things that are happening can really stress us out. And if we get our eyes on that and fix our eyes on that, it will do nothing but worry us. It will do nothing but cause anxiety in us, and it will do nothing but place fear in our hearts. But if we keep our eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of our faith, and we realize that Jesus has got everything taken care of, he is still in control, he is still in charge, and what's happening today, he's not surprised by. What's happening today, he's fully aware of, because if you read God's word, it tells you that these things must happen before he comes and catches his church away. Today is the last day of the series that I've been doing, talking about the end time survival guide. Actually, I don't like the word survival because it sounds like we're barely just making it. I'd like to use the word thrive instead of survive. God has given us everything that we need in these last days to not just survive, but to thrive. And that's what we've been looking at over the last probably couple of months. And today I want to finish up by making a declaration to every person that is watching on Facebook Live, everybody that is here within the sound of my voice in this parking lot, Christians and non-Christians alike, wake up, everyone, because Jesus is coming. That's the title of my message this morning. Wake up, everyone, Jesus is coming. Poll after poll, survey after survey, shows a strong indication from people, whether they're Christians or not, that we're nearing the end of human history. There's just a sense in the air, in people's hearts, that something is about to break. Something is about to give way. Something is about to happen. A culmination of all the events politically, economically, socially, financially, in the environment, and spiritually, that something is coming to a head very, very soon. How many believes that this morning in this parking lot? How many senses that in their hearts? Yeah. You see, history is winding down. I can say that with certainty this morning, that the world as we know it is nearing its closing time. What people are sensing, whether they're believers or not, what's happening in the world today, this where they believe in end time prophecies or not, what's happening in people's hearts, what they're sensing, these polls, these surveys that are being taken, is actually it's the Holy Spirit that is working in believers' and unbelievers' lives right now and is giving one last call, one last draw, one last invitation to draw the people's hearts and lives of every nation, of every tribe, of every tongue, of every people everywhere to wake up and to be alert because Jesus is coming back very, very soon. So it's time to make your lives right with the Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. That's why there's such a sense in the air in people's hearts right now. I don't know what's going on, but something's happening. Now, as Christians, as believers, we fall into one of two categories by and large. The first category, one of two extremes, on this side of the equation, we have people that are so preoccupied with end times, so preoccupied with the signs, so preoccupied with date setting, so preoccupied that they're gonna set a date. Jesus is going to come back on June the 15th. Is that today? That's tomorrow. Oh my goodness. Is he coming back tomorrow? Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Or maybe we're buying out all the different stuff that's made out of powder and sticking them in an attic somewhere so that we can just add water to them and live for the next 20 years when everything collapses. So we're doing all these prepping stuff. We're selling everything we have. We're moving up to a mountain and we're going to live off of, you know, the land or something. I don't know. People are trying to even figure out the identity of the Antichrist. Oh, could it be that guy in Europe? Could it be that guy in America? Could it be this person? Who knows? We get so caught up in that. It's an extreme that's way over here. We see every flood, every earthquake, every viral outbreak, every riot, every political scheme as a significant sign of the times. And let me just preface that by saying this. While each one of these are important in identifying where we are in the end times timeline, an unhealthy preoccupation and focus on that keeps us from being and doing what we're called to be and do in these last days. And I'm going to get to that in just a minute, of what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do in these last days. In other words, we spend so much time, so many brain cells are spent on the Antichrist and the end times and this date setting that we lose focus on why we're called, what we're called to do, and why we're called to do it in these end times. Now, that's that side. Here's the other group. And I believe that this group probably has the larger group of people in it. We have some of these extreme over here that are selling everything they have and moving to a mountaintop shack. But then we also have these people over here that are just kind of like, yeah, well, I believe that Jesus is coming back, but I'm going to be kind of ho-hum about it. There's a sluggishness that's going on in the church today. And I believe the vast majority of the Christians are half-hearted in their concern and focus on end times. It's what we call the slumbering saints. They're hitting their snooze buttons rather than waking up and watching for Jesus' return. Jesus says it time and time again in the New Testament. Be alert. Be awake. Be active. I'm returning soon. Don't be lethargic. Don't be sluggish. Don't be half-hearted. Stop hitting your snooze buttons. And Jesus also warns against the two extremes. He says, stop setting dates. And by the way, how arrogant are we that if even Jesus doesn't know the date, that somehow we would set a date and say, well, that's the date he's coming. Even Jesus doesn't know that. And yet we see people setting dates. He's saying, don't be an alarmist, but also don't be apathetic. He says, instead, his whole teaching has been right in the middle. He says, listen, be aware of it, but don't be lazy. Be awake and be active. Be alert and be working. He was constantly talking about his second coming and always with the instruction connected to it to be awake and to be active. I'm coming again. Be awake. I'm coming again. Be active. So we don't freak out over here, but we're also not ho-hum over here. You see the difference? There's the contrast, and that's what Jesus warns us against, to not be in either camp, but to be awake and to be alert. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus tells us what things to look for on the earth as we see these things happening right before his return. He concludes Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to read these two, three verses here, but he concludes it by using the word therefore. Now, you've probably heard this before, but if you see the word therefore in the Bible, you always want to read back behind it to see what therefore is there for. All right? So he's saying all this stuff, and then he says, therefore. He's saying, so I said all this to say this. Therefore, Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 through 44 says this. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know what day your Lord will come. But understand this. And then he gives some sort of parable, some sort of analogy. He says, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. He's going to come like a thief in the night. We've heard that before. In fact, there was a movie back in the early 70s called A Thief in the Night, and it was about the rapture. And what he's saying is this. He's not saying stay up all night every night physically. No, that's ridiculous. But he is saying to stay alert and be awake in your spirit, man. Because if we get lethargic, if we get stressed out, if we get preoccupied, if it's like Chicken Little, the sky is falling. We've heard it so many times over the decades of our Christian walk. Yeah, Jesus is coming. I've heard that so many times. And we kind of get tired of it. It becomes something that we just hear as white noise in our ears. And it doesn't connect anymore in our spirits. It doesn't make us awake and alert and keen to the fact that it could be today that Jesus is returning. So what must I do today to be alert? What must I do today to be awake? We tend to get involved with our own work, with our own life, with our own priorities, instead of keeping watch, instead of being alert, instead of staying awake. Because I'll say it again, it's time for us to wake up, church, because Jesus is coming. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, just after he said all that he said about the end time signs and then also to stay awake and to be alert, he gave a parable of 10 bridesmaids, 10 virgins. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, 5 bridesmaids were wise, 5 were foolish. Many of us know this parable. I'm going to give you the synopsis of it for those of you who don't. There were 5 wise ones who kept enough oil in their lamps ready to go. The other 5 foolish ones didn't have enough oil in reserve for their lamps. Now, back then they didn't have a light switch they can turn on. Their light was oil lamps or torches. But it required oil to be involved in this equation. So they all fell asleep, but at midnight the bridegroom came to get them because they didn't know the day or the hour that the bridegroom was going to come. So the bridegroom came at midnight. The 5 foolish ones looked around and said, oh my goodness, I don't have enough oil. So they turned to the wise bridegrooms and said, can we borrow some of your oil? And the wise one said, we don't have enough for you. We only have enough for us. Go buy your own and then come back. And so the 5 foolish ones went out to the store. I guess they went to a 7-Eleven if it was midnight. Nothing else was open. And they got oil somewhere where the stores were open. Well, by the time they got back, the 5 wise bridesmaids, the 5 wise virgins had already gone with the bridegroom into the room where they were and where the feast was taking place, and the groom locked the door behind him with the 5 wise virgins in there. And the foolish virgins came knocking on the door saying, hey, we got the oil, now let us in. And here's what the groom said to them. He says, go away, for I don't even know you. And we know exactly what this is. It's a parable of what Jesus is saying to what's going to happen to us who are not ready. We're not alert. We're not awake. It's time for us Christians to wake up, and for those of you who are not believers, to wake up and realize it's time to get your oil in reserve and keep it in reserve, because you don't know the day and you don't know the hour that Jesus is coming back. Do you have your oil in reserve today? Jesus finishes this saying, this parable, by saying this. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know the day or the hour of my return. Jesus' message is very clear this morning. He's saying stay alert. He's saying stay awake. He's saying be ready for my return. Only those who are ready will enter into my kingdom. Are you ready this morning? Church, are you ready this morning? People watching today, are you ready this morning? Do you have your oil in reserve? Are you watching? Are you waiting? Are you actively anticipating his return? Jesus, the Bible says in Romans chapter 13, it's describing how it's going to be like in the last days. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12 says, understand the present time. Do you understand the present time that we're living? We're in the last of the last of the last of the last of the last days, folks. I've heard this all my life. I've been raised in church. I've heard Jesus was coming back from the time I can remember it as a little baby boy. But here I am at 57 years old, and it's just as real to me now as it was back then. Jesus is coming back. Understand the present time. At Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness, folks, church, bride of Christ, and put on the armor of light. Oh my goodness, I implore you, I encourage you, I challenge you today. Whatever it is that you're walking in compromise, whatever deeds of darkness that you've allowed to infiltrate into your life, give them up, put them aside, and in place of it, put on the armor of light, put on the righteousness of Christ, and be ready for his soon return. Now, folks, what this doesn't mean is it doesn't mean that we set dates. As I said, even Jesus doesn't know the day or the hour, and it's arrogant for us to assume that we have it all figured out, even something that Jesus doesn't know. We can see the signs. We can know the things are getting closer, but setting dates is foolish. Actually, setting dates is a waste of our energies, and most importantly, setting dates is unscriptural. So let's not do that. It also doesn't mean that we're passive. Like I said, just sit back, lethargic, ho-hum, waiting and watching. It's meant to be an active engagement on our part. It's not sitting in our recliner chair with our bag of popcorn, watching the world's events go by and waiting for the trumpet to sound. It means getting up and getting out and making a difference, not being passive, not being lethargic, but being active as we wait. Jesus gave a parable in Mark chapter 15 of a man going away on a long trip and giving various tasks to his servants. He expected them to be done in his absence, those tasks, and then when he returned, he would give rewards to those who did, but he would also punish those who didn't. I don't want to be in that second group. I want to be in the first group, amen? He's given, and this is a parable of exactly what's going on. Jesus is saying, I'm going away, but in my absence, I've got a job for you to do. In my absence, I have an assignment for you to fulfill. In my absence, I have something that I need you to do. Represent me. Represent my spirit. Represent who I am to a world that's lost and dying. If you remember when Jesus ascended to heaven, there was a couple of angels there, one or two, and he was looking at the disciples, as the disciples were looking up going, well, where'd he go? I think I see him. No, that's a bird. What happened? Where'd he go? Finally, the angel said, hey, guys. Hey, down here. Woo-hoo. Stop looking up in the sky. Stop gazing up there. He's not coming back right away. He's going to come back in the same manner, but he's gone. Now, what he says was, I need you to be about your Father's business. Go and wait in Jerusalem, like Jesus said. Go and wait for the Holy Spirit. Stop standing there gazing in the sky. And I think that's what we're doing today. In 2020, I think we're looking up in the sky saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. But you know, if I got my eyes up on the sky, literally or figuratively speaking, I really can't see the harvest, can I? If I'm looking up here just waiting for Jesus' return, I'm missing the opportunities that are all around me, aren't we? If all we're doing is looking for Jesus' return, we're missing out the opportunities that are all around us to be about our Father's business. Staring at the sky won't lead anyone to Christ. It'll just make you look like a an interestingly strange person walking around all day long looking up in the sky. Now, that's what it doesn't mean. This is what it does mean, and this is where I want us to really drill down and spend most of our time here this morning. Mark chapter 13. Jesus lays down three things that we should actively be doing as we're watching and waiting. And this is so important. If you're taking notes, write these three things down. Here's the first one in Mark chapter 13, verse 5. He says to the disciples, to us today, he says, see to it that no one leads you astray. So here's what we need to do. What Jesus is encouraging us and warning us and challenging us to do, what this does mean in the last days is, first, we must live in protection mode. Write that down. We must live in protection mode. What do I mean by that? What does Jesus mean by that? Well, we know this. We know that there's false prophets all throughout the centuries, and the Bible says they're going to increase in number and in intensity as the day approaches of the Lord's return. And we've seen a lot of people out there where they'll get a group of folks and they'll send them down to a place and drink some Kool-Aid and all, and the rest is history. There's a lot of false teachings out there, some extreme like that and some more subtle. And I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. I want you to guard your hearts. Live in protection mode. Be careful who you allow and what you allow to go into your life. The teachings of God's word, don't let anyone lead you astray. If they're not preaching Jesus, if they're preaching a false doctrine or a skewed doctrine or a doctrine of the ways of the world, if it's somehow being attached to the things of the world, flesh and Christ, and we're adding to the word a little bit, the Holy Spirit will help you, and he'll put a check in your spirit. And I would say to you, run hard and run fast away from that teaching and run to a place where you're going to get the teaching of God's word in its purest form. Mark chapter 13, verse 5 says, "See, no one leads you astray." He continues in verse 9 and 23. He says, "Be on your guard." He says it a couple of times. Be on your guard. Be on your guard. Live in protection mode. It's clear that Jesus is telling us to protect our hearts and against the increased false teachings in the last days before Jesus' return. But by the way, it's not just false teachings, but if I can expand this out just a little bit this morning by also encouraging you to guard your heart against maybe skewed priorities, things that are more important to you than a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you have a busy lifestyle that pulls you away. Maybe you're discouraged in your hearts and you're living in discouragement and anxiety and fear. There's so many things that can draw us away that we allow to absorb into our hearts. And if we're not guarding our hearts and living in protection mode and allowing the Holy Spirit to guard like a sentinel the doorways and the passages to our heart, the enemy will allow to come in, and he'll deceive us if we're not careful. So guard your heart today. The Holy Spirit will help you as you stay in God's word, folks. Are you in God's word every day? If not, get in God's word every day. If you're not praying every day, get along with the Lord every day. Stay focused on your relationship with Jesus as first priority, and then allow the Holy Spirit to daily fill you as you yield to Him. As we've been saying the last few weeks, there's areas in our life that we've not allowed the Holy Spirit to come in. You can be here, here, and here, but you can't be here, here, and here. Holy Spirit, I yield to you everything about me. Come and fill me completely in every way. And as we yield to the Holy Spirit, He's going to help us He's going to show us those areas where the enemy would try to deceive us, where we would fall into deception. He's going to help us to guard our hearts where we can live in protection mode. Oh, live in protection mode. Here's the second thing that Jesus warns us about. Matthew 13:35 says, "Therefore keep watch, because you don't know when Jesus is going to come back. It can be in the evening, it can be at midnight, it can be when the rooster crows, or it can be at dawn." Hey, basically, it kind of covers, it can be any time of the day or night, is what he's saying. So here's the second thing that Jesus is warning us and encouraging us and challenging us to do, is that we must live in preparation mode. Write that down. We must live in preparation mode. I've been touching on this whole message. The best way to describe being in preparation mode is with this following true story. Listen to this. In July of 1959, Queen Elizabeth of England was scheduled to visit Chicago. Elaborate preparations were made for her royal visit. The whole city was planning on this royal entourage to come and to honor Queen Elizabeth. The waterfront was ready, docking her ship. The litter baskets were painted and freshened up, and there was a red carpet ready to be rolled out for her to walk upon. And there was a lot of hotels that were also alerted for her arrival. They contacted one hotel. It was the Swanky Drake Hotel. If you know about the Drake Hotel in Chicago, it's a pretty fancy place. And the manager's response was this. He says, "We're making no plans for the Queen." "Why not?" He says, "Our rooms are always ready for royalty." And I thought, oh my goodness, that is such a great, great example of how we need to make sure our hearts are be. So I want our hearts need to be. I want to ask you a question this morning, and you ask yourself this question: is my life always ready for royalty? Are we living in such a way where we don't have to scurry about and say, oh my goodness, I better get this fixed because Jesus is coming? At any moment of the day or night, Jesus is returning. Is your house always ready for royalty? Let me encourage you to live each day alert and prepared by laboring for Him and living sacrificially for our King as we await His arrival. Amen? So here's the other part about it, and I like to put it this way. Instead of being on the planning committee, trying to figure out when He's coming, instead, let's get our hearts ready and move from the planning committee to being on the welcoming committee and live our lives in service for Him. How about that? Let's not be on the planning committee. Let's be on the welcome committee and be ready to welcome Him at a moment's notice. Amen? Which leads me to Jesus' last instruction for us, and that's this. So we talked about first, we're going to live in protection mode. We're going to guard our hearts against any false doctrine. We're going to make sure our lives and our hearts are pure before the Lord. We're also going to live in preparation mode, that we'll have our hearts ready for royalty at any given moment. Here's the third one that Jesus says, I need you to make sure of in these last days, that we must live in proclamation mode. Proclamation mode. He says in Mark 13:10, the good news must first be preached to all nations. The good news must be preached to all nations. Before Jesus returns, all the world must hear the gospel. Now, I've heard that before, and I think, well, God, how are you going to do that? Well, modern technology is making that happen. I was speaking, listen to this, this past week, I'm not going to say her name publicly, but many of you know her, that she comes to our church here, and she works for this missions organization in Waxhaw. How many knows who I'm talking about? She's a sweet lady, works in the children's ministry. Pastor Matt knows who she is. And I talked to her this week, and I said, hey, how's it going? Just wanted to let you know we're starting at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and kind of just talk to her a little bit. And she says, let me tell you something. Now, one of her duties is to help interpret the Bible to what she calls the Gentile language. You get the Jewish language, which is an exclusive language to the Jews. And then there's also the Gentile language, which covers hundreds of languages in the world. So her job, one of her duties, is to help interpret the Bible in all Gentile languages so that the Bible could be read and the good news proclaimed in their native tongues all across the world. I found it interesting that she told me this week, she says, that particular part of my job is getting less and less. I said, why? She says, there are fewer and fewer interpretations are being produced. It's winding down because most all of the languages have been given the Bible in their native tongue. Does that excite you? Does that send chills down your spine? Does that also tell you that Jesus is coming soon? Folks, she said this, and this is fairly a quote. She says, I believe Jesus is coming back soon, since Jesus himself said that everyone would have access to hearing the good news before he returns. Folks, I agree with that. I agree with that. This is just another indicator that the things are winding down and that Jesus is coming back soon. But let me just tell you something this morning. Part of our marching orders from our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, in these last days is to faithfully, regularly proclaim the gospel, the good news. One of the last things that he said that was documented in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, one of my favorite scriptures, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone, everywhere. I'll say it again. Say it with me. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone, everywhere. Say it with me again out loud. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone, everywhere. To who? Everyone. Where? Everywhere. There's no exceptions. There's no exemptions. Everybody that's breathing on this side of the earth, 6 foot above the ground, qualifies for hearing the gospel. Every Muslim, every Buddhist, every agnostic, every person, young and old, black and white, man and woman, everybody. That's where I believe, by the way, that the church is falling short. I'm getting ready to step on your toes this morning, so if you need to, pull your legs in, because here I come. I believe that we considered this command that Jesus said to us to be optional. I believe that we convinced ourselves that we are not called, some of us are not qualified, or some of us are not gifted to share Jesus. I believe that we've excused ourselves from this responsibility, and we've expected the professional ministers, the preachers, the teachers, the evangelists, the missionaries to do it all. I believe that we've allowed ourselves to be caught up so much in the day-to-day of our temporary earthly kingdoms, and that we haven't given the time, the attention, and the energy that we need to God's eternal kingdom. I believe that we agree with our heads that we should be witnesses to others about Jesus Christ. But I also know that it rarely, if ever, manifests itself in actually walking it out. Our heads this morning, we nod yes. Our mouths this morning, we shout out amen. But our hearts are far from being burdened with it. And our feet and hands seldom move in the direction of the lost and dying to rescue them from their bondage of sin. I want to say this morning that watching and witnessing go together. They're hand in hand. You can't do one without the other. You shouldn't do one without the other. We can't be watching for Jesus' return and be oblivious to a lost world around us at the same time. We've got to watch and work. We've got to watch and witness. We've got to watch and be active. We mustn't get so caught up in our own ambitions and pursuits, or so focused on the signs of the times, that we turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to those around us that are in desperate need of Jesus. Folks, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. I am the hands and feet of Jesus. You know, we're heaven's plan A for sharing the gospel. And guess what? There's no plan B. There is no plan B. It's plan A. That's us. It's you and me, the church, you and I. We're the vehicles to carry the gospel to the world. And each of us, as we yield our mouths, as we yield our hearts, as we yield our time, our possessions, our lives to rescuing people that we see every day, and we rescue them from the pit of hell, that's our number one job and our number one priority, or at least it should be. And my prayer is, and I pray this right now, God, give us hearts for souls, for God's kingdom. Oh God, may we pray this morning, God, show us the opportunities that you give us every single day to plant and to water the good news. And we trust that you will bring the increase. Oh God, I pray over those that are listening to the sound of my voice this morning. I pray that you give us fertile spiritual wombs that give birth to countless Christians through our efforts and yieldedness to the Holy Spirit before Jesus, before you return. Holy Spirit, may you give us holy boldness to proclaim you, Jesus, without fear. May you give us a heart of compassion that looks beyond the outer skin color, that looks beyond the lifestyle, that looks beyond anything else. And Lord, may you show us the hurting and the hollow and the hungry heart in need of Jesus. God, help us. God, help us as we protect our hearts from being deceived, as we stay prepared for royalty's arrival, as we actively proclaim the good news. May we stay awake. May we stay active. May we be watching while at the same time working, not one or the other, but both at the same time. And I pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm wearing some glasses this morning, and I'm not ashamed to say that I got to have some part of me says that I got to see far away. Another part of my eye says I need something that's going to correct for close up. It's what you call bifocals. And many of you I know understand what those are all about. Some of you, not yet, but it'll come. I promise you, it's going to be for everybody. So I got these bifocals. And they help me to read up close. But they also help me to see far distances at the same time. I need both to have clarity of vision. So if all we do for Jesus' return is look for his return far away, We miss the opportunities around us to share Jesus. But if all we have is near vision, we lose our perspective and our life gets fuzzy and out of focus. So we need to, yes, share the gospel, but at the same time, be ready for a soon return. It's both. It's not either or. It's both. Say this with me. Say, I'm going to be active and alert. I'm going to be active and alert. See, I'm watching. I'm awake and I'm watching. That's the far-sighted. But I'm also active and working, and that's near-sighted. That's 2020 vision for the year 2020. How do you like that? Amen. Folks, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Wake up, church. Jesus is coming. Wake up, Jesus. Could it be today? Yeah, it could be before we dismiss here today that this parking lot will be fairly empty. I hope it's completely empty of human beings. But if it's not, I want to pray over you right now and for those of you who are watching. I'm going to ask if everyone that can to stand. If you're viewing from home, I want to bow you to bow your heads. Those of you who are listening in your cars, if you will, do the same thing. And church, I need you to pray right now. Now, if you're listening to the sound of my voice and you don't have Jesus in your heart, today is the day the Bible says of salvation. You have an opportunity today to receive Christ. It's not a difficult thing to do. In fact, everything's been done for you except for one thing. Jesus is never going to force salvation on you, but he is making the invitation. And what you're feeling in your heart right now, that stirring, is the Holy Spirit drawing you in. What the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now is, this preacher, he's telling the truth. This preacher, you need to listen to him. And you need to accept Jesus in your heart. You need to pray this prayer that he's getting ready to have you to pray. That's what the Holy Spirit is telling you. It's not me, and I can't make you do it, and he's not making you do it, but he's inviting you. All you have to do is open up the door of your heart and invite him in. But here's the catch. There's a knob on that door, but it's only on the inside, and only you can open it. So turn that knob, open up the door, and invite him into your heart this morning by praying this prayer. I want everyone to bow your heads. Christians, I need you to pray. And let's ask the Lord Jesus to come into our hearts this morning. Would you all pray this out loud together? Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I make my heart right with you this morning by inviting you into my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come live in my heart and be the Lord of my life. I thank you today that I am now saved, I'm born again, and I'm in right relationship with God the Father through your finished work, Jesus. And I love you, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Holy Spirit, seal this decision. You've entered into their hearts. Now come alive to them. Show them who Jesus is. Lord God, may we all of us, yield to you more fully every area of our lives, every quadrant, every facet, every place that we've given you no access. Today, I pray that we would be that we would have the courage and trust to invite you in and give you full access. Holy Spirit, we give you full access to everything that represents us. Help us, Father God, to guard our hearts against all the stuff that would try to deceive us, distract us, or draw us away. Father God, help us to be prepared for royalty at any given moment because Jesus, your coming back is imminent. But Father, at the same time, may we not just look to the distant sky for your return, but may we see the harvest field and may we be actively engaging in our people's lives, our strangers and people that we know, to tell people the good news of Jesus. Father God, give us a compassion for souls. Give us a burden for souls. Oh God, give us a hunger for souls. Don't let there be a day, a week goes by that we're not planting and watering and that you bring the increase. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name. And all God's people said amen. Well, how many is glad to know that Jesus is coming soon? Yeah. He is in control. Now, if I remember right, there's going to be about a 10-second delay, so we're going to hear another horn honking here in the next couple of seconds. So don't let that... See? There it is. All right. Hey, if this is your first time here, we're glad to have you. We're so glad to know that you would take the time and the effort to come and worship with us, even though it's outdoors like this. Boy, it sure is good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for 72 degrees out here with low humidity and a nice breeze. If you didn't come, you missed it. And I know what you're saying to me is, yeah, but I'm still in my PJs and drinking coffee, so you missed it. I get what you're saying, but that's okay. So next week, we're going to start a series on Revelation. And what I want, and there's 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. And we're going to actually take one chapter a week. And you're thinking, oh, Revelation for 22 weeks, that sounds like drudgery and torture. It's really not. Revelation is a great book in the Bible that we need to understand more fully, because as we understand our future and the future of the world, it's going to help us to live more intentionally, more joyfully, more powerfully, and more effectively here in the present. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. And I want to unpack it in a simple way for us to understand that it's not some high in the sky pie that we can't understand, but it's actually very practical and something that we can walk at, and it's going to help us to more understand fully how we can walk it out today. All right? So, if this is your first time viewing, if this is your first time here, thank you. Please give us indication by posting. In fact, if you're watching us, I'm getting ready to wrap this thing up with you online. Give me the thumbs up. Give me the hearts. I want to start seeing them floating around. Make some comments about it. Say hi to some people that you want to. Start making some comments now, because now is the time. I got about 2 more minutes here, and then I'm going to let you guys go. I'm also going to open up these altars for people that need prayer. We're going to social distance our prayer with you, okay? So, if you need prayer, I just want you to come up, and we want to make sure and pray with you all this morning before you leave. We're going to have some folks waiting for you as you're leaving here today in just a few moments for you to be able to receive tithes and offerings as you want to give. Thank you for your faithfulness with that. The bathrooms are open if you need to use them. Don't forget, we have Life Together groups. There are Zoom Life Together groups. Also, our children's and youth meet together online virtually. If you're interested in any of that and you want to be part of that, whether you're living here locally or living elsewhere in the country, we can sign you up and hook you up with some of the life groups that we have. Next Sunday, what time are we starting? 10 o'clock right here, and also Facebook Live. I dismiss you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace. We'll see you next Sunday, and God bless you all. You're dismissed. I invite you, if you need to, for prayer.